welcome to the Friendly Jimmy's podcast, surprise podcast today. We've got a very special guest.
Miss Love.
Performing on Saturday, guys. I will be doing my first improvised show. It's called A Lot of Fuss About Nothing. It's about the cabbage industry.
Damn, that is a very niche show. Somebody makes nothing but niche shows. What's yours? What is your show?
Let's introduce him.
No, that's good.
Keep it low key. Keep it low key.
We've got to introduce him.
All right.
We've got Fergus Neal with us in the studio.
Yes.
Thanks, Fergus, for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Geordie's Universe.
Fresh off the flight from Melbourne.
He's a great comic from Melbourne who is performing this Saturday at the ID Comedy Club. If you
know what that is.
Yeah. I honestly didn't know where that club... Have you been to that club?
You've done shows there, Jordan. Yeah, it's like Skinner's. You've done the self-help shows there.
Mm.
Is that right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. It's a nice room.
Wait. Not the one in Oxford Street.
Yeah.
You're going there.
Yeah, that's sick.
I sent you the address. Miss Love's coming.
Miss Love is so shit, by the way, Fergus. Just, I want to tell you this. He organized the whole meetup with you.
Yeah.
I'm about to drive to come here. Mm. Jordan calls me randomly, and he's saying, because we're supposed to go to Bathurst tomorrow. So he was saying, hey, do you want to meet up at the studio in the morning? And I was like, what do you mean meet up? Aren't you there already? He's like, no, I'm at home. Never freaking told Jordan that you're coming.
This is a surprise pod.
I told him on Tuesday, right?
It's a surprise pod for Jordan as well.
An ambush podcast is the most fun.
I forget that he's literally an infant. It's like, remember,
literally an infant. Come on.
It would be nice to know. 2 days ago.
2 days ago, did you?
That's not good enough.
Was I on my laptop at the time?
That's so good. Possibly.
I tried.
I did my best.
When Jordan came to do my podcast, it seemed like he didn't know that you were coming to
Yeah, exactly.
But I didn't even know I was going to Melbourne.
There's a common denominator here.
Miss told me you're going to Ballarat as well. So there are a few dots that are not connecting.
Yeah.
But you guys always pull it off.
Pull what off?
Like getting
going
to
places.
Yeah. Succeeding in life.
Yeah. How many times have you, both of you, have failed? I'm pretty good at this, so I'll make sure that he comes in early. Mm. But how many times have you actually just failed?
What are you, in my life?
How many flights have you missed?
In my life?
With Jordan.
None.
Zero.
It's pretty good.
He's nearly missed three and should have absolutely missed three.
Oh, okay. I think more like one. We've nearly missed one. I don't know if we get three.
Okay, all right.
I think one.
Yeah.
There was one that was...
This is when you wanted to get coffee, right?
There was one that was really tight.
Yeah, I've done that.
See, look at the euphemisms he's using.
That's a common use of the word in explaining the situation. I think you would agree, Fergus. Yeah, there was one time I remember that was very tight and...
And he made it tighter. That's the worst part.
It was a great image that Jordan explained. We made it at that point, but then I was like, I'm going to get a coffee. And it was like power walking with like two sandwiches and a coffee, be like, nom, nom, like walking towards the,
I would appreciate it if you were power walking. You were waddling.
That was power walking.
You were power waddling.
Power waddling.
That's what you were doing.
Fair enough.
You're going as fast as a duck could go, but not nowhere near as fast as like human legs should be able to carry you. But that's, yeah, so we're not an organised operation at all.
You're
an organised man?
I'm all right. I mean, like, compared to you two, I think that
We suck. We really suck.
Do you get recognised when you're on your shenanigans? Like, when you're on your Geordie's Universe side quest? Do people go, oh, shit, it's Friendly Geordie's?
Yeah,
that happens.
Yeah.
It's always the same.
When you're at the airport being like, hurry the fuck up.
No, it's usually me holding it back. It's not the fans. But you do get a cup. Yeah, you get some love.
The worst one is when you're in line waiting to go through the bag check and you're going through the taped area and someone goes, hey, Geordie's big fan. You're like, thanks, mate. And inevitably you have to see them six times after
that. Yeah, exactly. Or the classic is, you know, flying to somewhere like Perth and you get a fully fledged conspiracy theorist being like, have you checked out like... floating cities or some shit. And we're like, we will. And then you're like in line with them for another like half an hour. They're like, what about floating towns? You're like, I'll just Google the word floating. All right. How's that?
Cause I get that as well. I get conspiracy theorists. So I imagine you must get it like 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, take a look at this. I've just got my message request.
I'll do you one better. You know what I did? You know, like the real idiot, right? We're in Perth. I somehow just end up giving my number out because they'll give me your number. I'm like, oh, okay. And now, you know, he's probably watching. So God bless you, fella. That's fine. God bless you, fella. But dude, yeah, this guy's sending me like his life story on the daily. And I messaged him. I was like, man, listen, I don't respond to my mom that diligently. That's probably not going to happen to you. He's like, it's fine. I'll just keep messaging you stuff about the army. I'm like, okay. But if you are listening, man,
you're very interested.
Just stop.
Oh, okay.
Stop.
Right.
What is sad? I've been there as well. They just want to be your friend.
I know, but like, I'm like a 34-year-old man. I'm not friends with anyone.
I know. And you're also not going to become friends with a complete stranger.
From Perth.
Yeah. Look, buddy. Yeah. How do you break it to them?
Well, they've spent like hundreds of hours with you, Miss Love.
I love them all. It's just that my personal phone number is like, I don't like messaging, dude. Messaging sucks. Yeah, I'd rather call me, buddy. You got my number? Give me a call. I'll talk to you once a week about the army. How's that?
Well, I know people who get pazzed out about saying Miss when they say Miss with Geordie. They go, oh shit, I saw Miss Love. Like, no. You're almost like, yeah, you're like a surprise. You're like a surprise perk of the Geordie's universe in real life. Mm-hmm.
Someone's been
seeing Mew in Pokemon.
No. That's not, I've never, someone's been spiking your Melbourne Greek goods with like trips to see. You're tripping hard.
Hey, Miss, has this ever happened to you? This happens to me. It's happened to me a fair few times now where someone will come up and say, I'm a massive fan of the podcast.
Right.
Love everything that you do. And just right at the end go, Miss Love, it was so great to meet you finally.
To you?
Yeah. Is that
No, that's never. That's never.
We always forget. This is an audio medium.
Wait, Ali. That's never happened. But you know what happened? It's always Perth. All the fucking. You know what happened in Perth?
Yeah, Perth's a weird city.
How's this in Perth? Last time we went, this guy was just like, he comes up to me and he goes like, Christo, and I'm like, no, that I'm not Christo, and it's just like, okay. Proceeds to call me Christo for like 10 more times. Like he's leaving the place. Like, see you, Christo. See you, mate. I'm just like, see you, buddy.
Getting dragged out by security.
Yeah, you know the guy I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well aware.
Fergus, does this happen with you often? Do you get misidentified?
I mean, I don't really get misidentified. I got a junkie on the train the other day and he was yelling at me and he was yelling like two syllables. Like instead of saying Fergus, he's like, Fergus, Fergus. So I just thought I knew him personally. You know, I'm like, sick. I know that guy.
That's
but then,
awesome.
Yeah, sometimes people say they stole from Woolies because I accidentally said that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that became a thing.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about that.
We're going to get into your history. If I may start.
Yeah, of course.
Fergus, you've interviewed some very colorful characters in your day. What was the best interview?
I reckon the best interview is the one that didn't come about, and that was with Corey Worthington.
Oh my God, what a tragedy.
I was talking to Miss about this before. Wait, you guys, he's a dude. He inspired the movie Project X.
What?
He threw that house party in Narre Warren.
That was a movie, but yeah, I'm well aware of the man.
You guys must know that movie, because you guys were like seven, 6 years older than me, I reckon.
Oh, shit.
2012, Project X came out. It was a huge like party movie.
Okay.
And right. So Corey Worthington threw a party that inspired, and he was on A Current Affair, and they're like, take the sunglasses off and apologize. And he's like, I'll apologize, but I ain't taking off the fucking sunglasses.
Dude, he was a boss. Even then, I remember just going like, boss.
Yeah, me too. I remember like waking up it wasn't school, but I remember watching him being like, there's a legend, right?
but if you remember at the time, the media, all of mainstream media was just bashing on him. Like, it was almost like he was the Bondi staffer. Like, it was, but he just threw a lit party. Sorry.
Yeah.
He was the last guy to go viral on TV before the internet came. Because that was like 2007, 6.
Oh, so it was high school then?
Yeah.
For us. Yeah.
No, dude. Was it 2007?
I think it was two. Man, give it a Google. I reckon it's 2007.
I think it was 2012 or 13.
Nah, I reckon earlier.
I reckon it was 2007 because I swear I was in school.
But he lives in my home city, Geelong, now. And
you're from Geelong?
Yeah, baby.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
Go, actually, fuck the cats.
First of all, just I Google Corey Worthington and his occupation is entrepreneur.
Hey. How else would you describe
invention?
It's entrepreneur.
So good,
dude. That is.
You can see me on A Current Affair and Shark Tank.
Do you reckon entrepreneur?
I call it sunglasses.
Do you reckon entrepreneur is like the next level up from homeless? Because like, you know, it's just like there's such a fucking vast spectrum of entrepreneurs. Like Thomas Edison and
Corey Worthington.
Nah, Corey, I love you, bro. If you're listening.
sorry, Corey. Sorry, dude, we love
the
you
last
too.
Message Corey sent to me was like, stop fucking talking about me. I'm like, what?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, no, okay, first
his fuse is, he's got a small fuse.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm not surprised.
And he listens.
is he a real estate agent now?
Man,
nah, he was on Ninja Warrior.
I thought he was a fucking real estate agent, dude.
Well, we met in Geelong. No, that's
hot dogs, maybe.
We couldn't take no hot dogs. Hot dogs hosted K-Rock on Geelong Breakfast Radio.
He's from Geelong. No, he did not.
He did.
How long?
95.5. Probably from me year 8 to year 11.
Oh my God.
A long, successful reign.
Hot Dogs is a real estate agent now.
Is he?
I'm telling you, he's a real estate. Where's a phone? Give me a phone.
Why do you know that? How are you keeping abreast and,
no, this
and
is
remembering
the-
a man called... All right, it's every time you go to Adelaide and you see Moe's at the service station. That's what's happening.
What do you mean?
Like, how do you remember Hot Dogs?
I just...
The Great Australiana is the best Australiana.
He's the best, dude.
Yeah, and it's so sad that there's no such thing as that anymore. That's what I'm upset about.
I know,
about.
It's sad.
Yeah.
These are all shadow figments of our imagination.
I know.
I guess Meredith has
this Corey
stars.
Story isn't a shadow. I want to know.
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
So you met him in Geelong.
Yeah, so we had one meeting, and then we're going to team up. Like, hey, let's do a podcast.
Wait, did he know you, or you introduced yourself?
So we both followed each other on Instagram.
Oh, nice.
He's got a great Instagram account. If you're listening, it's partyboyworthington_C. It's horrifically hard to find. But when you do find it, there's a treasure chest there.
He did that intentionally for the goal.
I think so. He did the best influencer collab where it's him wearing runners and he's in like a rock climbing gym and he's to camera and he sprints 10 meters away and then sprints 10 meters back and goes, I wear Skechers. Or just says the shoe brand.
Yeah.
And then the camera cut. So he's doing brand deals. He's doing all right.
Dude, he was meant for the internet.
He's an entrepreneur. That's an entrepreneur.
Yeah, but like that guy was meant for the internet.
Yeah.
He would be the highest paid Twitch streamer if he's doing those shenanigans.
Well,
online.
I said that to him. I'm like, you're untapped. Like, people want to know what you're doing and you're just chilling out in Geelong in a paddock. Like, you should be on a screen. And he's like, it's coming. It's coming.
Really?
Yeah, he said, like, he's making a documentary about himself.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, can I be involved? I was just like, whatever this is, I just want to be near it.
Yeah, dude.
I just want to be next to it. I don't care how much money I'll lose.
Yeah.
So why didn't the interview happen?
Well, again, and I say this with all love to Corey, he's got a short fuse. I think he would be the first to say that. And he's probably going to comment on this video, Fergus Neil, I will come and kill you.
Is he from Melbourne?
So he's Geelong. From Melbourne, but he moved to Geelong. But he parties hard in Geelong. Because my friends who went to...
He's still going hard.
My high school friends in Geelong are like...
He's doing ravenly successful.
He's shaving money. he's entrepreneur and good at finance.
That's Geelong nightlife right now. It's like Corey Worthington and Billy Brownless, who's a former AFL footy player, just tearing it up.
Right.
You guys, if you're ever Melbourne's in Melbourne, I'll take you for a night there in Geelong. Try not to get king hit by Corey Worthington.
I'd love to have a night out in Geelong.
It's so much fun. It's kind of what, like, Australia was in 2012. There were, like,
We've been there a few times. I've been down to that
big jetty. You would
have
done shows.
No, I'm well aware. I love
Did you do
the
shows
Sphinx.
In the Sphinx?
Yes! The Sphinx!
I don't know how that place exists.
Is that in Geelong?
There were four Lebanese brothers in Geelong, famous Geelong story, and they wanted to open up a pub. And one of them said, why don't we make it in the shape of the Sphinx? And they did it expertly and with precision.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Winning ideas.
This place is... Yeah.
I don't understand why it's such a strange thing to see, because everything else around Geelong is Geelong. It's a bunch of broken down factories with windows of people that have clearly thrown rocks through them. That's all of it. And then right in the center, you just have an ode to Tutankhamun for no reason.
Yeah, it was definitely not right in the center.
the heartland, all right?
What I remember about Geelong was that it felt like Melbourne's Newcastle.
It is.
Way less bogans.
I
wouldn't say that.
Darren Lyons was our man.
I'd say that there's more art there. For some reason.
Just because it's close to Melbourne.
And a lot more haunted houses. Huh?
Mm. Haunted houses? Why? Isn't it an old...
I don't know. There's just this suburb that I went past, and every single house looks like the house that they use in Goosebumps of the family that moves in. Every single one of them.
Yeah. Is it a more haunting place?
Well, like, I reckon a good cultural pulse is that we elected Darren Lyons the mayor, who was the paparazzi who was in the tunnel with Princess Di.
The guy with the fake
six-pack? He's got a fake six-pack. Fuck, dude. Yes, he's fat. He's got a fake six-pack.
How does one have a fake... Wait, let me... No. How does one have a fake six-pack?
Trust me, Ali, you don't want
to... You don't want to.
You can get it cosmetically.
Like less sexy than being obese.
Oh, is it just like it's when implants. You take a marker and just make like...
Yeah, lines it's across. Implants. It looks sick. And he was on Celebrity Big Brother. He won Celebrity Big Brother.
I can't handle it. It's the most fun thing.
And a pink mohawk.
Yes. And then we elected him to mayor.
That is hot.
And then
that is
it was kind of like, it was Trump-esque. Scary. Like the local courts were trying to take him down for embezzling money. And then he just, yeah, he disappeared. No longer mayor.
Dude, shows don't take politics seriously at all.
I think Dan Andrews got rid of
it. Regional areas don't take politics seriously.
It's Big Brother for them. They're just voting on who's going to stir up the most shit.
Yeah, it's fun.
I mean, not this. I would say it's relegated to the sister cities.
Mm. Yeah, that's a really good way of looking at it. Yeah. I really, give me this, because I've always been thinking this. Why are all the satellite cities next to the main city so fucked?
That's a really good question.
Why is that the case?
Yeah, why is that?
Because when, when you can't afford Melbourne or Sydney, you're just like, well, let's just move to the next place. So the second tier, of which I was there, because we were born in Melbourne, then Dad's like, well, all right, we're fucking going to
pull the Corey Worthington, eh?
Yeah.
And then you get, like, I got to a school in Geelong and just like, you notice the drop. You're just like, oh, shit. Oh, no.
Geelong's like, Melbourne isn't sending their best. They're all thieves. Some, I assume, are good people.
Well, I got to Geelong when the Ford factory closed, like Target closed. All these places good were closing. Times. And good we times. Moved in when the economy was like on fire. But it was all right. My dad was sad. A gardener and there's always plants. That's my,
yeah, man. Yeah.
That's something that he actually said one to me. He's like, there's always plans.
Jesus.
Kind of true. If you think about
it. Can't afford to keep the plants. It's not like, it's not at the top of people's priorities.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but there's always a garden. If you think about every Australian city, there's always gardens.
That's true.
Oh, all right. There's always parks. He's getting those sweet government contracts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Oh, no, that makes a lot of sense. That is a genius business move.
And my mom used to say the same thing. She used to say, become a pediatrician. There's always going to be babies. And I
was like, whoa. Well,
do you know how hard it is to become a doctor?
Oh, it's a, what is
it's
a
like a kid doctor.
Like giving birth.
And also, yeah,
like, no, like straight up, go to like school for 20 years. Become like, just because our tip was.
So you can face a life of looking at kids with cancer in the eye and saying, you got 3 months.
And,
just, what the
fuck? And that was your mom. That was your mum's suggestion on a whim. Just
on a whim. It's like, you know, how invest in Bunnings. You know, it's like, there's always a demand for it. She was like, become a pediatrician.
20 years of your life. And then, it's hard.
That's classic parent advice, though. Like, they become economists. And they're like, well, there are babies. Therefore, if you work with babies, you will always have work.
It's true.
You know, they can't see comedy. You know what I mean? They can't see things like music. They want you to do shit they can see.
Dude, ethnic parents, so for right them, they don't see anything aside from like your standard jobs, like accountant, whatever.
And if you're a loser until
the money starts coming.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as there's even like a little bit of money, then they're fine with it. But before that, they will throw you out of the house for like, you know, deciding Deering. To have extracurricular activities. And
I mean, my parents still don't know what I do. I wouldn't say I make...
I don't think you know what you do, Ms. Love. I'm going to be honest.
I told you, I organize podcasts.
You do expertly. A shit job at it too, today.
What do you say on... Are you in a relationship now?
No.
What do you say on dates when like you... Because that's, I reckon that's the big one. Like when people ask what you do on a date. What
do
say?
I say on dates? Yeah. Oh, it's always a nightmare. It's always like... If anyone asks me, what do you do for work? Even like Uber drivers, it's like the roll off is just like, I have a strange job. I work for my friend who's a YouTuber. And they go, oh, and I'm like, yeah. And they're like, what do you do? I'm like, I write, I tour with him. And then they go, yeah. And then they look at me like I'm the biggest genius in the world. It's insane. I could say I'm a brain doctor. And I'd be like, but I'm just like, all right, fart jokes. I'm like, very clever, man. Very
next
smart.
Time to say, I'm one argument away from sitting in your seat.
Damn, that is good. Always on the knife's edge. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's true. That's true. There's another little insight into this organization.
Miss Love doesn't the coercion.
Hey?
The coercion of the Geordie's universe.
Yeah.
Free yeah. Miss Love. Soon people are going to be like, free Miss Love.
Free me.
Listen.
Because this is your job description. I went to high school with Jordan.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's his skills on his resume.
Oh, sorry, that's his skills.
Yeah, it's not the job description.
It's complete nepotism.
It's experience.
Right. Yeah.
Was in maths class.
No, dude, yeah. No, my he's totally right. It's like my description is like, was like third funniest in fucking Newtown performing arts.
What do you think about this kind of nepotism, Fergus? Are you pro nepotism like this?
You have to use nepotism, especially jobs you guys went to public schools. You need to use nepotism. Don't reckon we in Australia, there's such a private school nepotism. We need to cultivate a fucking public school network.
I like
of
that.
We wouldn't succeed.
Well, we have that, but it's for massive. Jobs at Liquorland. It's
that's what I mean.
But it's a network.
That's what
We've
I
got
mean.
Our own network. Like right, jobs for the boys.
If my life went
but
Tom,
it's just the boys in a Facebook group chat.
If yeah. my life went to shit, like my friend Chris, who works at the BP outside of Geelong, could save my life. And I'm not saying that's a bad job, but I'm saying I do see my friends in weird places.
You can say it.
Well, I'm
you can,
seeing, I'm
you can
seeing
say
them,
it's a bad job.
I don't like seeing like friends from high school in transitory locations. You know what I mean?
Like Geelong?
Yeah, like you're filling up your car and they're there. You're like, fuck. You know
that's
what I mean?
Tough. That's tough.
I want to be like... You and me, let's start a food truck together.
Yeah.
I want to destroy my life so that we're, I don't know. I have weird loyalty with my high school.
I get that.
I mean, you guys have that because you guys are here.
No, you'd be surprised by how many people's plan B is food trucks.
Yeah,
it's true.
I
that's
definitely
true
have
well.
That. I feel sad with friends when I'm like, oh, hope you're doing all right there, buddy. I definitely have that.
Yeah, but like the scariest part is there's a little piece in you that goes like, I could be there too.
You know the weird thing? Some of those dudes are doing better than the best. Like I know if you, I know comedians who are like some of the best comedians in Australia, and they hate their lives. Truly,
Akmal.
They hate their lives. Well, I'm not going to say names, but they don't enjoy their.
Dude, Akmal.
And I know friends in Geelong who are like that. On paper, life's on fire. Internally, they're gods. They're gods.
Yeah.
They're going to Lambies every Sunday.
It's Akmal, isn't it?
It's all an internal perception.
But you know what? I think comedians are particularly sad bunch of people. I think they are.
Geordie's is happy. Well, every time I met Geordie, he's happy.
Yeah, I'm
dude.
A barrel of lead.
Geordie's is happy. Now there's a good joke.
Do you have this? So Jordan, like when the camera switches on,
yeah.
he's in
you
the
seem
zone.
Very, you
he could
seem
be
good.
Awake for like four nights. He hasn't slept. But once the camera's on, he's switched on and he's like, you know, happy-go-lucky man.
He's a performer.
And once the camera's off, he might be someone completely different.
Well, that's why he's so good at what he does, right? Like, I guess if you were on all the time...
For sure.
You know, you wouldn't be on when you're on the mic. But that's true, I guess. Whenever
right,
I, see
I was just about to say the opposite with you, but I'll... I was about to say, I've always noticed that you are exactly the same when you're off and on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's even at like gigs, stand-up gigs, I was always like that. Off stage, I'm similar to how I am on stage.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But true, whenever we're off mic, you're more lower energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why the fuck that is.
Do you have brothers? You don't have brothers and sisters?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't have any of that.
Yeah.
Ashery ones, what? Yes.
Yeah. I had that. Yeah.
Do you reckon if you have brothers or sisters, you're kind of always on in the house?
What?
True. You're always on with your brothers and sisters. Like, I'm like one of four kids, so like, you're always on. Like, there's always a kid going, do you want to play cricket or do you want to, what the fuck do you think of this?
Yeah.
Like, what do you think of 9/11? Like, there's just always things that you need to respond to. So you're never off. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You're always like having to, you're almost doing a podcast for your whole childhood.
Yeah. And you're always feeling scared.
Yeah.
You know, anything can happen at any given point. They could just beat you up for no reason. It's part of having brothers.
Can't imagine having to share attention with three other kids.
Oh, man. Dude, it's a struggle. It's a struggle.
I remember one time, first moving to Geelong, I was in a bunk bed. I was on the bottom one. My other brother was on the top bunk and my other brother was next to us. We weren't like fucking impoverished. It was fine. We were in like Australia. But like my brother at the time was like, he was in the drug scene of Geelong. I don't think he'll care me saying this. And
we are alive.
Yeah, we're alive.
He was in the drug
he's
scene
not
Geelong,
anymore. He's not
he's,
anymore.
Yeah.
But he's not now watching. He lives in Turkey.
But the difference in the like what the bunk beds lives were, like I was still watching like Roller Coaster and he was like meeting, you know, people who would appear on Underbelly. Like, you know what I mean?
How old was he?
He was like a year and a half younger than me.
Wait. So
what? At 14, he was meeting with like the Alamedines.
Yeah, yeah. He was like involved.
Wow.
He won't. Yeah. I don't think. Yeah.
But how was he involved? Why would they be using a 14-year-old?
Well, I mean, if you have, I mean, I don't know if you guys, go to a party or you go somewhere and you're getting drugs, it's always the little mules who are like underage. All the carjackings in Melbourne right now, they're underage. So they go to places like Toorak. The cops can't touch them because they're underage.
Good system.
Damn. Oh, dude, good.
Yeah.
Good little lackey.
He's Bart Simpson in the Mafia episode.
My housemates, totally, my housemates' parents got their car stolen. They lived in Baldwin, which is like in East Melbourne. And it was 14-year-olds. But the 14-year-olds weren't the ones who've gone on their own volition. It was like older fucking people, mafiosos, who said, all right, you're underage. Go and get these keys. Bring the car back to us.
Shit.
Pretty genius.
Yeah, it makes sense. And you,
it makes sense.
It does. I mean, like, you know, these kids, the cops, like, the biggest thing is cops are going to be, like, thinking.
It does.
Dude, if you're an adult and you're in the drug world, they do not care about you. They'll hunt you down. Yeah. They'll fucking jump on you. But if it's a kid, yeah, it's going to be.
If you're, like, 13, 14, you're kind of a little bit above the law.
You are.
To go to juvie is really hard. To go to juvie is really hard.
Isn't it?
You'd have to.
I've always been shocked at that.
Yeah. Really
and now,
hard.
And then there's internet. Also this in-between halfway house of high schools just for naughty boys.
Yeah.
And then you have to fuck that up to go there.
But you know, it's like harder to go to Tasmania. Transition from like juvie to adult jail is so rough. you're like a kid who's committing crimes and shit.
Totally.
You get a PlayStation 5.
It's mad. It's like summer camp. You're just like allowed to play.
Well, Spanion said that. Didn't he say that on your interview with Spanion? He's like, he was in juvie. He's like, this is sick. Juvie's mint. And then you go to prison, you're like, oh, God.
And it happens like overnight. So one day, you're just having the time of your life chatting on how to fuck off. And the next thing, you're in solitary confinement with like a little straight jacket around you.
It's just chop off.
Yeah.
Just chop away from you. Like, you know, man, been waiting for your champion. All right, it's time to die. Come on a stage.
Yeah, that's going to be wild. It's like coming from primary school to high school. Like you're a year six.
Yeah, totally.
On the back of the bus. Totally. And now you're in a year seven at Barwon prison.
Did you hang out with Crims then?
Did you know them? I mean, there was just at my school just had kind of just there was some real bad dudes.
What was your school called? Like Geelong Public?
It was the biggest public school in Geelong.
What a lazy name.
Isn't that what it was?
Even now you know where the public school.
Now you know where the creativity comes from.
Yeah, it kind of was. Right, it was just I'm not gonna say the name of the school because there's still teachers there who I know and respect.
Boo.
But it was the biggest public school in Geelong. And it's just like...
Was Geelong public?
Well, also though, when you think, if you have 2,000 people from the public, 5% of those people are going to be fucking psychopaths.
Yes, they are.
You know what I mean?
And yes, if you're in Geelong, 15%. Let's be real.
But that's the best thing about public schools. We had people who got 99 ATARs, but then we also had drug dealers. So the parties were sick.
It's the same with our school. Yeah. It was the same with our school. Yeah. We went to a fucking performing arts school. There was a 5% degeneracy.
Mm. Yeah, but in the same way that gangs are presented in West Side Story, like they knew how to do ballet and shit. Like they weren't really
your
hardcore.
Guys' school wasn't a real place.
What about the area kids?
It's not a real
Newtown,
like, yeah, they were tough in comparison to a bunch of homosexual dancers. Yes. Yeah. They were really hardcore
really
for that.
Bringing me down.
That's the best place to be tough. I would be tough in that environment. Yeah, exactly. I look like the mouse and flushed away. Like I wouldn't be tough.
If you're weak in that environment, oh my God.
I was weak in this environment though because my brother looks terrifying. I was fine.
Yeah, because everyone was scared of your brother.
Like,
yeah.
This is Fergus, he's mad. Don't touch
him.
Yeah, kind of. You got that. Yeah. So you knew them though.
No.
Are they a different breed of person? I honestly always think, I don't think that phrenology is a hoax science. I reckon that you could put a crim there and be like, yeah, there's a bump there. Yeah, all right.
It's interesting. Yeah, it'd be interesting to know.
But does it feel like that when you know them? When you meet crims, they're a different type of person, right?
You know the thing that always is people's like, oh, it's the parents' fault. It's the parents' fault. But I've had this scenario myself and also other people. It's like the parents are the exact same. One kid is like, deducts the score and another kid is like doing the worst things possible. I'm like, why did that happen? You know what I mean? That freaks me out.
Yes.
You grew up in the exact same environment.
I think we should
exact
kill the
same school.
Too. I think, isn't that where we're getting at?
No, we're not going to killing anybody.
Oh, shit.
But,
maybe. But you know, gypsies would be a good start. Yeah, right. Yeah,
I don't even really know. Is that a gypsy or gypsies? Are they people who hang out and...
I don't know. I don't know.
I think they're Irish.
My entire knowledge of them comes from Stephen King.
You know where they're actually from? Do you know where gypsies are actually from?
Romania. You won't believe Romania?
They're from Pakistan.
Oh, really?
No, that's a lie. That's
it didn't exist at the time.
You can't
it
was claim called,
them. You can't moved, claim that.
No, they can't.
You just have people living in vans.
They can't be from Pakistan.
They are, bro. Let me finish.
I've seen them. They've just got strange shaped heads.
Why do you lie?
First of all, there's two types of gypsies. There's one Irish traveler gypsy.
That's the
who I'm not talking about. Then there's Roma gypsies, who are the OG gypsies.
Yeah. Mm.
They migrated from current day Pakistan and India, like, thousands of years ago.
Is this in that China book you're reading as well, is it?
No, this isn't that. But they've okay, done fair tested. Enough.
Like, I mean, Tyson Fury, the boxer, he was a gypsy.
Oh.
He grew up in an actual traveling community.
I think he might be Irish traveler gypsies.
Yeah, well, gypsies do boxing, bare knuckle boxing.
Like in Snatch. Those...
It's so sick. Have you seen that?
What?
It's true.
Yeah,
it is true, yes. It is, that did happen in Snatch.
Thank you. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yes. Wait, what happened?
They do bare knuckle boxing in the gypsy communities.
Yeah.
And so Tyson.
Isn't that better?
I don't know, maybe.
It actually is better. It's but if better someone, for your brain.
If, that's what I thought. Yeah.
If Spaniard was like, I'll either bash you with gloves or bare knuckles, I would say gloves.
Would you?
Yeah, somebody would be like, please give me gloves.
Yeah, but you'd be like, gloves just go to the stomach.
Short-term gain for long-term pain.
Yeah, it'd be like long-term CTE.
No, it depends.
Yeah, exactly, if, right? You're going to have dementia.
If Spaniard,
I'd take that.
If Spaniard was like, I've got five punches, then yeah, go the gloves. But if it's like, I've got three rounds, be like, take them off.
Take them off.
Can we set up a spec? Can we train Geordies up and set up the greatest
let's please
YouTuber,
not do that.
YouTuber boxing match?
Yes, let's do that.
I've been saying it.
Yeah.
I once suggested, I was like, look, we'll make a lot of money. Let's get Isaac to be on it.
He'll pummel you.
Like me versus Isaac. A Hagrid, essentially. Just a fucking 7'8" man.
Dude, you could be.
This is the thing that's so bullshit about YouTube boxing. Have you ever noticed this? That they just pair up a gamer with somebody that, I don't know, like spearfishes for a living or something?
Yeah.
And they're completely different builds. There's no such thing as featherweight or. They don't even try.
Mm.
They just chuck them in the ring. Hey, there you go.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, we need to start YouTube boxing in Australia.
I don't have
and
too
Jordan
much.
Is the man to begin.
I don't have too much faith, Jordan, holding it down in the ring. I'm sorry, Jordan.
6 months later, let's get ready to rumble.
I don't. It'll be the you know, Simpsons episode.
It's so sad because I always think that YouTube boxing is the YouTube equivalent of Dancing with the Stars. It's really that's what you do when you're dancing.
Well, YouTube boxing just gives you way more money than Dancing with the Stars ever could.
Oh yeah. Oh for sure.
You make like millions.
But the whole thing is, there's no stars on Dancing with the Stars. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's true. It's like
the last star was Pauline Hanson.
Yeah.
No, Sam Destiny.
It was actually a great series. That was it when Pauline was on it. That was, it made me like Pauline.
Yeah, she kicked
when you see some, remember it.
When you see someone dancing, there's something about it where you're like, I don't care about their politics.
Well, she majestic?
She was very majestic.
She was good.
No way.
Yeah. As
she's
a young man,
good at dancing.
Yeah, I blush to admit. I reckon as an adolescent, I think. No,
well,
don't
you,
worry.
You had a wank to it. Fuck yeah, go Fergus.
You, out
you and me both, brother.
Have you guys been following
every
her
time
court
I see
case?
Ronald McDonald from now on, I need to be happy.
Jordan, have you been following her court case?
Huh? She's got another one, is she?
Oh my God, it's the funniest one ever because of.
What is it?
So, Marion Faruqi, the Green Senator, sued
her.
Oh,
yeah.
Because she, fuck yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but like, dude, it's awesome because she's like in court and she. They're like, you were racist when you said, go back to Pakistan, weren't you? And she was like, no, I was just. It's just a normal
a suggestion.
Thing to say. Yeah. And they're like, no, but you've said all of this stuff about Muslim. And she's like, I didn't even know she was Muslim. They're like, no, you do. You've acknowledged it over here. And she's like, all of what I said was rhetorical.
What do you think is the strategy behind this? What is the Greens' move with someone yelling something in Parliament? Ooh, what a shocking thing that has never happened in Parliament ever, sledging. And
I don't know.
The
how
Greens
Parliament
just
works.
Go out and sue them.
Yeah, but like it's happening more often just today. Apparently Bob Carr is going to sue the New Zealand Deputy Prime Minister.
What?
Why?
For what? For
because
what?
The Deputy Prime Minister, it's a big issue over there in New Zealand right now. Like they're asking him to step down because he just went on radio and he was talking about AUKUS and he said that, I want to use this correctly, I don't think Bob Carr cares, but he said that Bob Carr is a Chinese lackey or a pawn or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Carr took
wrong
offense
move.
To it.
Don't call Bob.
Is New Zealand even involved in AUKUS? How do they know that?
Well,
that
they're
exists?
Wanting to. This new guy, the new government wants to get involved in AUKUS. and the public obviously does not want them, and so they're trying to convince. And then, so someone on a radio station said that in Australia, Bob Carr said this, this, and he was like, "Well, Bob Carr is, you know, a Chinese lackey or whatever he said."
Yeah.
And so now Bob Carr is pissed off.
He never changes, does it? The only thing that has changed in the last 50 years is the commie has changed from Russian to Chinese. Yeah. And that's it. But it's the same accusation.
It's the same. History just repeats itself.
Over and over. God, it must be tiring being a boomer.
Hey, you know what is tiring? Being like a neocon who gets like motivated by every war. Can you imagine how exhausting it would be? Every 20 years, you're like putting in all of this effort for a new war. Where it'd be like Vietnam, Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan.
Yeah, and your argument every time is anyone says anything, you just go, communist. That's it.
And all of these people, 20 years later, regret it. Huh? All of them, 20 years later, regret it. Now, if you ask all of those people that supported the Iraq War, what do you think? They'll say, no, it was the greatest mistake I made.
Even Bush?
Even George Bush?
I'm sure he would. Yeah, he went public and acknowledged it was a mistake.
Wow.
Yes. I don't Fishing think you find any likes. Buyers for Iraq War, but like at the time.
Paul Wolfowitz.
Yeah, and that now they're doing the exact hot, same hot shit take, for every other
hot
war.
Take. They still have weapons of mass destruction. They just haven't found it yet.
It's a big desert.
It's a big desert, don't you know?
I think they used it. Iraq is massively destroyed.
Oh, Jesus. Well, you know, it's all a rich tapestry of, you know, conspiracy theories. No, you're right. It's all very sad. It's all very sad.
Fergus, yes. Okay, tell me about Bob Catter. What was he like behind the camera?
So I did one podcast of Bob Catter like a few years ago. And then now I've just been in contact with him. When I did the Canberra Comedy Fest, I was meant to meet with him, but then he takes Fridays off.
Holy fuck, the Canberra Comedy Fest. I can't imagine anything sadder. How was that?
That's so
You've
brutal.
Done shows in Canberra.
I've done shows in Canberra. Yeah. I haven't done the Comedy Festival.
Well, imagine...
Hey, register to bring serious laughs to these public servants.
Imagine seven of them.
You're allowed to push back on these opinions.
Yeah, I'm pushing
You're
back. Allowed.
Don't you reckon this would be it? Are you ready to chuckle?
But not too loudly because we don't want to share the boat.
Maybe
no, it does feel like that.
If ANU closes at 9.
It does feel like that. It's all public servants who come to the shows. You're at ANU in a room.
Are you ready to chuckle?
Yeah, I was in a room where I'm like, who works in the... Yeah, they all put up their hands.
The flip side comedian's dilemma. Too much crowd work.
Yeah. A guy in the front row, and people at the Canberra show remember this, said that he worked in nuclear arms. And we're like, we didn't know Australia had nuclear arms. And then he just shut the fuck up.
No! No way!
So my conspiracy is that Australia has nuclear arms, and this guy has revealed it at the fucking Canberra Comedy Festival.
Maybe we have Iran's nuclear arms.
I reckon we've got something out there.
Fuck.
I reckon
we 100%. We're safeguarding America's
For
nuke.
Sure. There has to be something here.
Yeah. Because like this entire region, America's designated us as like, you know, the policeman. Yeah. They're going to give us nukes. Cause
Pine Gap, you reckon?
Maybe. Mm. Maybe. But I would... where is Pine Gap exactly?
No, it wouldn't be that. It'd be the one in West Australia, I reckon.
It needs to be somewhere around like Northern Territory or West Australia.
Yeah, the north of Western Australia. Is that that... So you're talking about?
Yeah, there's another secret base there, and that's where they test out a bunch of military hardware.
What was the go? That's you know how Clive Palmer, when he was running his scare campaigns, it was like, in northern Western Australia, there's an airport.
Yeah, the Chinese are building an airstrip.
And it was like, they
land.
Somewhere
EWA.
Yeah, what was, is that true?
Yeah.
Or just went
it was.
Away.
Yeah, but that's like him saying, sorry, in Zetland, somewhere, a Chinese development company is building an apartment. It was, do you
it's
remember that?
It's a bit
that?
More nefarious than an apartment. Huh? It's a bit more nefarious than an apartment.
A fucking landing strip in the desert.
Yeah.
What, so you're seriously sitting there thinking, wow. Think of all the bombers they could land on that landing strip that they own, and we couldn't do anything about it.
I'm
if
just,
they put
I'm just thinking, who's landing there?
Yeah.
That's what I'm
thinking. Yeah, that's true, John.
We know who's landing there. The Chinese are landing there.
But just because they have a runway doesn't mean that they can land there unobstructed. Like, we would shoot them
you
out of the sky.
Know.
Yeah.
Right.
We would fire our one nuke.
But isn't that weird for countries to build their own private landing strips on other countries?
It's suspicious.
It used to be.
It's not anymore?
Not at all anymore. I mean, America builds infrastructure here all the time. Canada builds infrastructure.
It's suspicious if it's not American.
Yeah. That's the way to look at it.
But do other countries, forget about those, like, is it happening everywhere?
All across the fucking planet.
Yeah, really? Dude, the entire world. If you just Google American,
America has, US, like, how is this what about not Russia? Scarier is if Russia you wanted building? To start a fair, it's just like, in Australia, there is currently the world's largest spy base and a place where they yeah. came up with B-52 bombers. In it, and then they're yeah. talking about something that was just basically... So Gina Reinhart could land there, meet a businessman, and then just be like, see all of this. This is my land. They're like, okay, yeah, cool. That's all that would have happened. That's all that would have happened to that place. I can guarantee
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah. It's not military infrastructure.
Right.
It was incredible how much airtime it got.
We'll call it open-ended.
The port's got a lot of airtime where they're like, China owns this port.
Yeah.
I remember that being big. Do yeah. they still own that?
Yeah,
they have
yes.
a lease.
Okay.
A 99-year lease, if that
means right, it. Right, right.
So I think they still have the lease. But they're only allowed to legally do commercial activities there.
And I'm sure they'll follow you can't, that.
But look, I don't necessarily agree with this theory, but the detractors say that what China does is they'll buy like, they'll build a port and then they'll try to bankrupt your country. And when you can't afford to pay them back, they'll say, well, we'll just keep this port for whatever use we want and then supposedly build military capabilities over there. That's what Andrew Bolt would say if you asked
him. Right, right.
But that's what America does.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it
that's
is.
Where he's getting it from.
That is what America
I've seen this before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of China. It doesn't track.
Like that's pretty amazing to hear.
I don't think...
Because like, you should be. No, but it is remarkable to hear. It's so weird. It's like I think that the constant drumming, it loses its effect after a while.
Mm. Yeah, they have to do something. If you're listening, China, send something. Send a missile.
Don't
yeah,
take COVID
do
again,
the balloon,
please.
Something like
hit
that.
Townsville.
Just anything other than COVID.
Yeah. Bring back another germ warfare.
Yeah.
Just go with bird flu was all right. Let's stick to that.
But yeah, sorry, you met Bob Catter.
Yes. Have you met Bob Catter?
No.
Yeah, met Bob Catter, and then I was at the Canberra Comedy Festival. It was another triumph.
Fuck, what a whirlwind weekend.
I'm proud of your achievement, Shrew.
Thanks, miss. and then so his media manager wanted to do a video on TikTok. Where, because Bob Catter's pushing this legislation against the supermarkets, Woolies and Coles, and he's like, let's do a collaboration video where we do his crocodile speech, but we comedically insert the supermarket duopoly. So it'd be like, man, 1,000 blossoms bloom. I ain't spend any time on it because each week, something, something, the supermarket duopoly. That was their idea. And I was like, fuck, maybe, you know. It doesn't yeah. seem as, it's rough when like staffers are writing comedy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's tough.
Is it true? Because I don't know the history of it. Did Bob Catter, like, his political career start off with just him saying that stop crocodiles from eating people? Is that a thing?
Well, he went viral for that.
Dude, he's been around since the 70s.
He's our longest serving politician in Australia right now is Bob Catter.
Hell yeah. That's
yeah.
crazy.
I think don't reveal that.
His dad ended segregation in Cloncurry between Indigenous Australians and white Australians and the pubs and the cinemas.
Shit.
Yeah, he's done a lot of...
talk about nepotism, Jesus. And he's like half
his dad is
son.
A politician, yeah.
Hey, you leave... What's his first name?
Robbie.
I don't know, Angus? Is,
yeah, well, Robbie, I think.
You leave Robbie out of this. I want to see
his
that...
His name's Robbie and his dad's name's Bob, which means his name is Robbie.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's modern Australia,
listen,
though.
I like seeing that guy's giant fucking cowboy hat in his electorate in... Where's that Townsville when we went? So you keep it... Damn.
Yeah, member for Kennedy. Member for Kennedy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People get
his
angry...
His eyes really just... far apart or whatever.
Yeah, with that French bulldog stare. Yeah.
Regional Australia. Fucking sick.
But it is wild because I noticed like on videos that I do with Bob Catter, like that one you saw Bob Catter, so many people like Greens aligned or Greens voters like, fuck Bob Catter, he said. But then if you look at his politics and his policy, a lot of it is very, very like progressive and like constructive. But it's just the shit he says in real life can sometimes get him into, like he identifies as Indigenous on Q&A, like that's a problem. Like,
not.
No, well, they'll just be talking to me, be like, well, I'm going to identify as Indigenous. And everyone's like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. Like,
kind of sick, though. Kind of sick to be like.
To just chuck, yeah.
Yeah, to just be like, hello, world, this is me.
Yeah we're like zero melanin, just
and
willy nilly.
And because everyone in the ABC is so scared, they don't question it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because Bob's so fucking crazy, he can get away with stuff that like people on the left will like just, they'll be like, okay, what if he is indigenous? Then we're cancelled. So they just let him be indigenous.
Like, wait, so what were your text messages like? What's your relationship post?
He calls me on the phone. On my Instagram stories, I post missed phone calls from Bob Catter.
Wow.
We were like having conversations and then something's happened. I'm sure I've spoken about him on something, on a podcast or on a fucking TikTok or something, and now they've got cold feet. Oh, and this probably won't help, making fun of his son.
Fuck, you just made an enemy for everyone, aren't you?
We like you.
Nah,
like
just Corey and Bob.
Hey, Bob, you should know this. This podcast has been supporting you for like 7 years now. Yeah.
Really?
Have we? Yeah, we've been, or like, we've been paying him out for 7 years.
I mean, we do a bit of both.
Run the tapes.
No, we've always
done a bit of both.
We've definitely been supporters of a lot of.
Yeah, 100%. We've been encouraging Labour.
I love Bob Catter and Corey Worthington. For the record, I want
to
say
we're like you, Bob. We like to have a laugh. PC culture's gone too far, and we like to have a laugh like you. I think you would agree that PC culture's gone too far, and I think you would agree with us on that. That's what I'm sorry. I think he'll be fine with that.
Yeah, but I've got like a, I've got like something that he definitely wouldn't. It's like PC culture has gone too far, but also the sugarcane industry's gone too far.
Well, that's
Well,
that's what I always told Jordan, because like I was like, Bob Catter seems really cool, and Jordan was like, his policies are pretty good, pretty progressive, with the caveat of like, except that the environment is pretty bad. Oh, that's Jordan's call, and I was like, you know, fair dibs. I'm not a sugarcane expert, but, you know, like...
so he's getting his master's, however, in horticulture of agriculture in Far North Queensland.
That's true. But they're not completely
They haven't
related.
Got to the sugarcane part yet, which is very surprising, seeing as that's pretty much our only export.
Well, that's what happens when you don't support TAFE.
I don't know about all of this crocodile culling. Have you heard of this? This is a new policy. They're going to cull like 1,300 crocodiles every year in
really?
Like so Bob kind of won.
No, but it is like a problem.
What is it? You don't
is
know.
It a problem?
I think it's like 4 Australians a year get torn to shreds.
Oh, that's
crocodiles.
Not that bad.
It's not bad. 4 is not that bad.
I don't even know if it's a year. I think it's like they're saying in like 3 years.
No.
Four over 3 years.
Yeah, some. I remember reading. Maybe it is a year.
But if we were living in Townsville and like 4 of our friends were getting eaten, we would be like, "This is an issue for sure."
If we were in Townsville, we would not care at all.
You don't reckon?
I could guarantee you. We used to know a guy. We used to know a guy from Darwin.
Did we?
I'm not going to say his name because he's
I know who you
Fergus's brother's friends, right? And he used to say, "Cuz." Every wet season, we'd go down into the sewage system and we'd take our boogie boards there and we got to surf in the sewage system.
So sick.
And I said, was that awesome? And then he said, yeah, 2 of my friends died, but it was mad. And then I so the logic, and he said, one of his friends died in the fucking sewage system and they went and did it again.
I love it.
And then another one died.
I love
and
it.
And they still kept going, I love it.
I love
like,
it.
They don't care.
I really don't care.
Have
you been to Townsville?
Townsville.
Have you been to Townsville?
Never.
Okay.
You have.
Yeah.
You've done shows
there. Many times.
You do shows everywhere. You're I mean, no, you've got such a huge audience.
I do it in the way that like a truck driver around Australia has been everywhere. I do it exclusively within this country, which is, you may as well do. Look, Townsville, what is it? Hot Geelong. What's Geelong? Cold Townsville. It's the same shit.
He doesn't do fucking Cairns or what's the other one called? Darwin. He doesn't go there.
Yeah, I'm not going to go to Darwin. I'm not going to lose money just to get bottled. Like, I'm not going to...
Pathetic.
Wimp. Yeah, fair enough.
You haven't been to the Canberra Comedy Festival.
Yeah, you haven't
next
done
year.
You haven't done shit.
Let's get
Canberra
all the
who was at the Canberra Comedy Festival. Who was the big cast?
Jim Owen.
So, Jamal was there. You saw Jamal.
No way.
Yeah, Jamal was there.
Why is he still doing festivals?
Jamal.
Jamal. That other Irish guy. It's like, I don't know who the fuck I am myself.
Do you know anything about him? Why the fuck is an Irish backpacker one of the most famous people in Australia? What?
Jim Owen?
Yeah, why is he here? Like,
Jim Owen still crushes. I did the late night show with Jim Owen. I'm like, this guy hasn't lost anything. Like,
the
he's destroying. There was a late night show in Canberra, Comedy
Fest. Sick.
Well, all the public servants stay up till midnight and they do a midnight show. And Jim Owen was on it. He's just crushing.
What about,
he would crush in front of an audience crushes. Of public servants.
Yeah,
what
older, like, 40-year-old.
Who is that guy, the other guy, that talks like this and he's got long hair and I think he's Irish as well.
Ed Byrne.
Yeah. What's he about?
Fucking, he's crushing as well. There's just like these guys from the UK.
Irish guys that, for whatever reason, in the 90s, everyone decided, nah, we don't need to foster any Australian talent. They've got it covered. And that was it.
Kind of, yeah.
I don't know what happened. Like, why are they here? I don't get it.
I came to Comedy Fest. I was youngest by like 20 years. And it was kind of
really?
Fun.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it was all, cool. It was like those older guys.
Yeah.
Who were like, if you're on
the Golden Age.
Good News Week in like 2010.
Good News Week.
You're minted forever.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You're a made man.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a steak with Jim Owen. So many questions. Like, when did you come here?
He turns it up. He parties hard.
Fuck. Such bulgy
at Melbourne Comedy Fest, like, he was eyes. Every night I saw him out and about.
Jim Owen?
Yeah, he parties hard.
Dude, look at my Jim Owen impression. Ready?
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's brutal. But
he's out of 10.
But his facial impressions.
So easily impressed.
Because he summed up a lot of his acting.
You, sir, get a raise.
No, I love it.
Jamal can crush with just his face, which I can't do.
I just
he can do it with no words. Mm. He can crush. That's underappreciated.
Are you jealous of those comedians that just have like an inherent character? Like, you know, like there's a joke before they walk on. There's a joke already there,
like whereas, in their appearance,
which is their face.
It might be their accent. Maybe it's like if it's body a walk comic, it's like, you know, the way they speak. Or someone that does like faces heaps. They just have like these additional skills. You have to write a joke every time.
Well, I don't know. You're similar. You're like, you get laughs from your writing of jokes, right? Like, do you do physical bits or not really?
No, I think that it's, I get a combination of laughs from writing and the fact that I'm a performer. I can perform, but I am so jealous of people that are, as he's saying, they are the joke. Mm. Yeah, that's they all they have to do.
Mm. Like Dave Chappelle's,
talk.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle's best stand-up. Imagine what those jokes without the accent. I think it'll have less of an impact.
Less? It wouldn't be a joke.
Yeah, because he's always...
But no, he is not one of these people that can walk on a... Chris Tucker is that.
Dave Chappelle performs. There's a lot of people like that. Yeah.
He's a very strong performer, and that's it.
Like
that's
Rodney Rood... didn't actually speak like that in normal, you know, but that was his character. And it was, I think that's half of the joke there. Any joke that you do is going to be at least 20-30% better because of the way you're doing it.
Not even 20 or 30%.
Honestly, 100%.
The older you get, the more you keep going in and out of, oh, it's an old cliche, but it's absolutely true. It's all in the delivery. You can say things that aren't jokes. Mm. A lot of the time, Dave Chappelle says things that it's not a punchline. It is a sentence.
Well, that's new Dave Chappelle when it's just a sermon. I'm talking about like retro Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, but I'm talking about retro Dave Chappelle.
That's a bit harsh.
He can get up
right?
And just say like, that's crazy. And people are like.
Well, maybe it is crazy.
Do you have like.
Context matters.
Do you have like favorite, like what are your top Aussie comedians if you had to pick? Or
I don't know. Growing up, I always loved Arj Barker. I don't know. Did you guys. Miss Arj Barker, you got him or not? I don't know. When I was like 10 years old, Arj Barker was on every single television station.
Yeah, he was massive.
And I just loved
he's
him.
Another one.
Here we go.
Why is he American? I don't get it.
Because he married an Australian lady, so he just stayed here and made $1 million a year.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
that makes sense.
Because I was
sense.
Always, yeah. Why isn't he doing this in America? Why isn't this working in America, but it works really well in Australia? Yeah. And it was purely... just poor life choices, and so that's why
it is weird when you see. Well, when you see an American comedian in Australia, like, oh, it didn't work in America, so you've come to a smaller market. Sometimes that's what it feels like. But I think
that's what it feels like.
Yeah, with Arj, I think, and that does
because
happen.
Back in the day, I was always this guy's doing something else that no one else on planet Earth is doing, and I think that it was. I always thought maybe Americans aren't getting it. Or
well, what
something.
Is that?
I don't know.
What is that thing that he's doing that others aren't doing?
He was parodying a stoner.
Yeah,
and there was comedians that were stoners. I'm not saying that he's not a stoner. I'm sure he is. But he was able to get the character traits of a stoner without saying, hey, look at me, I'm a stoner. And he was able to go down these very strange drug-like tangents where you think, where is this going?
Mm.
And you couldn't remember the beginning of it, and then the end really, like, it was just... It was a psychedelic journey in itself.
Mm.
That was Arj Barker at his peak. But sorry, continue.
Arj Barker, I reckon, would be like probably like number one. I mean, he's not Australian, but he kind of is.
That's, all right, that's
he kind of is. So.
Huh?
Arj Barker kind of is Australian because like he's been here since like 2007,
and he's also
but
like
his accent
not,
isn't.
It's but he's also like not big anywhere else, no. which makes him Australian, I think.
That's interesting.
Yeah, okay, all right, all right. I'll let it slide this one.
Yeah.
But what's the next one?
Got it. I mean, like all time, like America, Australia, or just Australia?
Just Australia.
Anyway, yeah.
Australia, you can't get past Husey. People are going to hate it.
Yes. No, yeah, Husey's going to hate it. That? Dude, Husey is fucking hilarious. We saw Husey.
With Gen Z, Husey's lost. He's lost the youth.
Husey loses it.
People, Gen Z thinks that Husey's, they just think that he's hacky.
No, I
like and because there are comedians like who are younger who in their shows, they make fun of Husey at the shows.
Yeah, but he's so good.
Yeah, but he is good. These youngies, they don't know what good comedy is.
Husey's the most like watertight joke for joke.
Yeah, man.
Like formulaic, holy shit, this is like killing.
Yeah, we saw him at the Melbourne Comedy Festival and I couldn't get enough air in my lungs. I was laughing.
So good. So good.
I think you just have to like him as a person as well for you to enjoy his comedy.
Mm.
Like Husey, if you, because you can't, it's the funniest thing. I saw him outside. And I was with my wife and I said, I want to go and take a picture with him. So I said, hey, Husey, I'm a big fan. He's like, oh, yeah, man, come on, let's take a picture. And I was like, oh, by the way, I work for Friendly Geordies. We both saw your thing. And he was like, Friendly Geordies? Hey, is he going to write a hit piece on me? Do I need to be afraid?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, we love you, Husey. We think you're
should have been like, it's coming.
Yeah.
You know, Domino's Today did that. I wrote a joke about saying, oh, I'm going to do a big expose on Domino's. It was clearly a joke. And I got a message from their team saying, hey, just heard that you're going to do a video on us. We're perfectly happy to answer any questions or clarify anything that you have. Just
dude, it'd be even funny if you came up being like, they're price gouging. The stuffed peach hasn't got enough cheese in the crust. That'd be sick. Yeah.
$5 pizzas, outrageous.
No,
dude, Husey looked at me like I had, when I told him that I worked for Friendly Geordies.
Stop it, in a cost of living crisis at that.
I was insinuating that the quality of the ingredients is shit.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm never going to make a bad judgment on that.
No, Geordies does inspire fear in some. I've had some comedians and some media people come to me and be like, I've seen your videos with Geordie. What does he think? Like, they're scared of Geordie.
Yeah, they're scared. They're petrified.
Yeah, he sparks fear. True? He sparks fear.
When you're making
hearts.
The thumbnail of the person in the video, are you like, is there any like, oh, fuck, this poor fuck?
Or
you
just sometimes. Like,
okay.
Sometimes I release something and I think like, right, I'm just going to wait for the next 24 hours. And if I don't hear anything about suicide, I'm golden. I always want to get the person right before, like just looking at the noose being like, it'd be an easy way out. But it's I don't want them to actually put it around their neck.
When you don't, you've never heard of them before. Like they're a Sydney Morning Herald journalist and you're like, they're introduced to the public through Friendly Joy.
It's fucking crazy, eh? It is crazy. Because
they probably always wanted fame. But they're just like, not like this.
Yeah.
Not like this. I've always thought about it. It has to be so wild scrolling and seeing yourself in a thumbnail. Like you did that recently one about the guy. I didn't click on it, but the guy, was he Crikey
the
dude?
The Crikey dude.
Oh, fuck that old
wait,
man.
Oh, wait, that was recently?
Yeah. Well, I've gone through him many, many times.
Was this the journal? Was this the guy that was like, he talked like this, that guy that we went had a crack at or?
Talks like this.
Oh, no, he works for a different company.
Oh, Rick Morton.
There's been many a journalist. But dude, he hates so journalists. Many. He has no problems making videos. But like someone like Husey, even apparently Koshy was scared. So I had
Koshy was scared.
So someone, I didn't tell you this. So
you know I was on Sunrise?
Yeah, dude.
When?
I watched all of that shit. I watched all of you on Sunrise.
I was on Sunrise and then Koshy retired the next day.
Really?
I got Koshy laughing. I was kind of killing
with
Koshy.
It was good. You did, yeah. It was about the price.
The Woolies. No, it wasn't Woolies. It was about the fucking interest rates.
Oh, that's right.
It's happened three times with Sunrise. They're like, can you come on and talk about interest rates? And one time,
why are they asking you?
I was with Ruben. We're doing, I was opening for Ruben in like Ireland. Doing comedy, and they messaged me.
The country.
Country, Ireland. And they messaged me, they're like, can you talk about climate change and the heat waves happening in Europe? And I'm like, I'm in Ireland, it's raining. They're like, do you have a green screen? I can't do this.
That's insane.
There's some things I can't do. I can't be in Ireland with like Ruben holding a green screen and me being like, it's too damn hot.
Spain.
How did you get into the Sunrise?
They just messaged me a random DM. I think they probably saw some TikToks or Instagram reels and they're like, this guy speaks
about politics.
Were you talking
about like climate change in
it? No, they just want like,
that's
some dude from a Gen Z to talk who talks about politics to come on and it's fucking fun.
Yeah, man.
The camera guy comes to your house, you meet him in the car park next door. He doesn't
How
know
old's who, a camera guy?
He's 50? Almost like 40. He doesn't know who you are. He's like, who are you? I'm like, just a comedian. And he's like, oh. And then you get on and like, I had a vape. I had like a Mother Energy drink at like 6 a.m. just to get ready for it.
Shit.
And he's like, who is this dude?
Fuck, what a way to start the day. Yeah, no. Isn't that incredible?
Dude, that is the national breakfast.
But then you go on so hot.
And then it's just like you and like the guy on ComSec or whatever.
Yeah. No, I got split screen. They surprised me. They brought on a guy. Do you see that for the rentals something? I'm sure you made fun of this guy. And he was getting annoyed at me.
Yes.
Because I was, yeah.
You were having a go at him. It was great.
I got
split
screen by, yeah, some... Yeah.
Yeah. Some hipster nerd dude. Who was just like, no, increasing rents is only a good thing. Case closed. And you
went
like,
Super Saiyan.
Some guy.
I think you might have done a video on it, but I went Super Saiyan, and it was a lot of it was Monster Energy drink.
Sick dude.
Do you?
Doesn't matter what he was talking about.
Yeah, like when the cat.
Fuck off, Geelong's man.
Go the cats.
Do you ever have you ever had those requests to do, or were you just like, you can't? You've made too much fun of mainstream media.
No way. They've never even thought of
they're probably
it.
Like
never.
Yeah.
Not once.
Damn. Yeah. Failure, eh?
The only time they ever ask me for comment is if they're doing a hit piece on me the next day. That's it.
True.
That's the only time I've ever got any media contact.
Yeah. I guess some journalists, I mean, because we see each other probably once or twice a year. But because you don't do much stuff with other I guess well, comedians or credits. Sometimes journalists will hit me up and be like, can you ask Jordan this? And I'll just leave it.
Yeah,
I'll just leave it. I'll be like, he doesn't even reply to me. Like, he's not gonna.
Yeah.
Like, he's not gonna, you know what I mean, reply to you through me.
Doesn't reply to anyone. Don't take it personally.
But that is hilarious that Hughesy's gone home at night to the wife and been like, we've got to liquefy assets. Geordie's making a video.
Yeah, well, that's why he also gave the tickets, because he was scared.
That's amazing.
Holy shit, yeah. I bullied him out of comp.
I know that you were bullying him. He thought that when you...
Give me those.
We got free tickets as bribery from him not to like make a video. Well,
the head writer of the project, who is a really not great comedian and is like a not a good dude, like he's like yells at... He's made like friends who I have who are female comedians like cry at gigs. It's like, the dude's not a good dude. And he's asked me about you. He's like, does Geordie's know about him? I'm like, I don't think so, man. I don't know. But I hope so. I might whisper your name in his ear because this guy is a fucking
oath.
One of the worst dudes ever.
Fair enough.
Have you been on the project?
No. Luke Kidgel was on it on Friday. First time on mainstream media.
Shit.
He's like, it did nothing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, of course it wouldn't.
It moved no dials.
Nothing.
Why would it?
I don't know who's
it's
watching
TV.
It.
I thought
well,
it
is interesting. Yeah. Since
TV
2018,
is honestly like being on a very unpopular YouTube channel now.
It's like Channel 31 in 2010.
I've watched so much daytime TV in my life that I can't make that mental switch, I'm afraid, to that acknowledgement.
It's hard for me too.
Yeah.
I really find it difficult to say. I
can't make it.
The fact that I sit there and make videos saying, did you see what they said on the project this week? And there's like 20,000 views. It's like, come on, people. It was on the news. It's incredible.
Well, I'm watching no being like, cares. Let him speak. Let him speak. It's like, no one's stopping him speak.
But you got to admit... Have you been paying attention? And the cheap seats, they get views. They're two shows and they're still getting like 700,000, right?
Because they're also like decent shows.
Whether those shows are on, like those shows, whatever Working Dog does, they get viewers. Like, you know what I mean? But they've been doing that for like 30 years.
Right. But what's your strategy when you go on one of these shows? Like, what are you thinking?
I didn't know what they were going to say. I kind of thought they're going to try and like make me look dumb.
No, but are you trying to stand out? Because I've heard this, that back in the day...
I'm asking Miss now, because Miss saw it.
In like the mid-2000s or whatever, American comedians talk about that when they had to go on like, you know, those regional morning TV shows or whatever, their idea was, because no one was going to watch them, to say something so egregious that the news cycle picks it up. Mm. And that TV show will never invite you again. Yeah. But your news is going to get out there and your tickets are going to get sold.
The thing, the biggest thing I reckon I fucked up was, I think I told Geordie this story, I can't remember, when Married at First Sight messaged me to come on Married at First Sight.
Dude, why did you do that?
And so they organized a meeting with me and three of their producers. So my editor, Pat, who's done some stuff for you as well, he's like, why don't we just record this interview? Like, it'd be interesting sociologically to see what they ask. So we recorded it. We put it on YouTube, TikTok, like everything. And it goes viral. And then it all gets taken down to like once.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Like cease and desist.
Really, like YouTubers, like Channel 9 puts a copyright strike, whatever. Like these mainstream things still have really strong connections with these social media outlets to be like, this gets taken down.
Ooh.
And the interview I thought was like journalistically interesting because you could tell that these reality television shows were fishing for sociopaths. Like the questions being asked, I think, should be public knowledge.
Shit.
It's like, hey, they're looking for someone who has the predilection to, you know, whatever. They were like, have you ever got in a fight? Have you ever like, yeah, king hits? I'm like, these questions, you're kind of looking for a particular type of dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, have you ever punched a woman?
What? And if you say no.
Like, well, like journalistically, I'm like, this is interesting. You know what I mean? Because these Married at First Sight is the highest rating television show in Australia. And the casting agents are screening for sociopaths. And that affects the culture. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they want
inevitably.
Yeah.
But look, they're trying to create a show with a lot of fucked individuals.
Yes, for like, sure.
You understand where they're coming from.
I was honored that they thought that I could be the man.
Yeah.
But pretty quickly, so I think, during the interview, one of them was like, you're not recording this, are you? And I'm like, I just didn't say anything.
Yeah, you're like, what do you mean by recording?
And then, we got around some of the legal loopholes. But,
I think that
has kind of, I don't know, Channel 9, I'm like, there's nothing ever's going to happen with the Today Show. You know, Channel 7 is just me, Bruce Lehman.
That's cool, though.
And that SAS guy who killed some... that's what it is.
Oh, shit.
I was on the worst network.
Still a better panel than Q&A, I tell you that much.
So much more interesting.
Have you seen the panel?
People have given up.
They're no ones. They're just some random...
Well, that's the thing. Channel, like, even like the Bruce Lehman stuff, like people like, what, you're giving a guy who has committed this crime, you're giving him money for sex workers, like for blow? People like, what the... Like, even my dad, who doesn't really pay attention, he's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, that got to the average Australian. They're like, why is Channel 7 giving Bruce Lehman money to buy nose beers? Like, why is he getting money for sex workers? Like, the average Aussie was like, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what my...
It broke through.
You know what breaks through to me? The fact that you're from Gen Z and you give a fuck about Australian television.
I don't. But it is interesting.
But you know so much about it.
Well, it's... Do I?
Yeah, for a Gen Z kid.
Well, he's in the
like,
biz.
Basically, like, I was just How expecting you to come in
I'm,
here.
So I'm 26, so I'm on the precipice.
Right, yeah.
You are on the precipice, but it's still, you know, I thought that you'd come in here and be like, so I was watching Hassan Piker's stream. And
yeah, I was watching Vines.
No, yeah, I was watching Vines and shit. But like, dude, Vines you're in our world. You're sitting there just being like, yeah, I've met the guys from Cheese TV. It's like...
Oh, how
it was the happiest day of my life.
You know what? I do have a fascination
with... Yeah, with the Canberra Comedy Festival guys, they've just been like, where? Carl Barron.
Yeah, no, you are right.
What is the deal with that? That's incredible.
Jim Owens taking everyone's
because you're talking our language.
But I still grew up with that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I still grew up with that. Because
how like, is it you and no one else?
There's not. I reckon all like
because he's 26, not 17.
Even like Luke Kidgell doing videos on The Bachelor, like, and he's my age. Like everyone around my age,
right?
Still, inevitably, you get that. You're still seeing mainstream TV, and then my brother and sister who are like 21, they don't know anything about mainstream TV. So I reckon I was on the cusp.
You were the absolute last.
Yes, maybe
last of the dying breed. Okay,
I might all right. be. Yeah.
Yep.
Dude, kids nowadays, TikTok, Netflix, Disney. That's all they know.
Disney? Yeah. They give a fuck about Disney.
Well, because the fucking new Mermaid movie, the new Little Mermaid.
Star Wars and shit.
Do you think TV can come back? Like, what if they just made Channel 10 like, hey, we're just a streaming site now and we give comedians. Like, if they gave, we're going to give Friendly Geordies a show, you know? Like, why couldn't that come back? They're losing money
every
year.
People want stuff on demand.
Yeah, make it a streaming thing.
It's gonna be like it's gonna be like movies. You know how for films, most films no one goes to watch unless it's like a big superhero spectacle type of a thing.
Mm.
If you create like a spectacle TV show, like kind of Squid Games was,
yes,
on TV, everyone's gonna watch it, but otherwise not.
Well, why couldn't TV be like this where it's like you stream it live, but then you can also watch it back on like a podcast / streaming site?
Like I think it is. Like TV is like that now.
The other thing that it's got going for it is shows with a live studio audience. You can't really do that on the internet.
True.
You don't have a budget for it.
That's
why you have your quiz games. That's still going.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Quiz games, panel shows. Sitcoms. That's where you go. Huh?
Sitcoms
no, there's
have a
no
live audience.
There's no
God, sitcom. I wish sitcoms still had a laugh track.
Yeah, well, some do.
Do they?
Yeah, don't they?
Like, you do realize Seinfeld isn't still going, right? Like, you're just watching old episodes. No,
All in the Family isn't that new anymore.
But no, but even that terrible, you know, what's it called? The one with the nerds. Oh, there's no laugh track. Is there? No, there is. There is. There's a laugh
track. Big Bang Theory. Yeah. Big Bang Theory has been off for years.
What?
That's got to be a fake laugh track.
And by the way,
Eerie Mash Bat.
It's an in joke that all of Middle America shares, but yes.
It's a great joke. It's a great joke.
You want to share the joke?
It's from
Sheldon's
the show.
Line. I was reading a book about the success of Big Bang Theory.
Really? Yeah. Why the fuck were you reading that?
No, you know why? Because it was this weird experiment that they had to do where they realized, hey, let's laugh at a bunch of autists. And then they put that on television as just being autists. And everyone was like, I fucking hate these people. And I was like, why? It's like, because they're autists. They're annoying. And so they had to think of ways to change their personality so it was forgivable and likable. And that was the whole, like the whole audience just stared blankly. It was an I didn't do it moment. And then Sheldon says, you're in my spot. And the audience just wow, smash it. It's the new Seinfeld. This is going to take the world by storm.
And it did.
Holy shit.
I think we just answered the question.
Isn't that incredible?
There. TV is dead. TV is dead.
Why is it dying? What do you reckon, guys?
But I wonder, like, just to tie that up, I wonder, like, if but if mainstream TV gets to a point, because you see it drops every year and the revenue's dropping like crazy, they get to a point where they go, we have no other options. We have to give shows to online creators
totally.
To make a TV show.
I think they will start doing
that. Because they see Jordan
They've
subs.
Tried doing that before. They've tried to give, like, YouTubers their own TV shows.
No, I'm like Lily Singh. Yeah, they gave the worst YouTuber in human history a show.
Yeah,
that's what they do. Commercial television gives really crap content creators a go.
I'm just saying, right? I've never seen a success story yet.
I think you might buck that trend. Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan should just rename his show from Uncensored to what YouTuber am I interviewing tonight?
Yeah, Piers Morgan is... Piers Morgan is like, and I'm not saying this lightly, a genius.
Do you think so?
Yeah, he is a ratings getter.
He's the GOAT at this stuff.
Wait till Jordan fights Spanion and then we'll talk about
Hell
it.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking
Who's
about.
Who's the real ratings the genius?
Yeah. Dude, do you remember the, I don't know if you watch free-to-air TV, but me and this gentleman tend to here and there. And
yeah.
Do you want to tell them about the ad that they're running now? The ad that we saw on free-to-air? You don't remember?
Can't remember.
Okay, well, they have some campaign now being like, the big streaming services are locking you in with their fiddly contracts. And they're probably going to kill you. Did you know that? Ours will always be free and honest. The cunt from like Channel 9 News is the most honest person in the world. Free to air. Fight for your right to party. And it's just like,
oh, that was a death rattle, wasn't it?
Now you remember it.
Trying to mobilize people to feel sorry for commercial television. When have they ever been in that position before?
That's literally what happened. It was insane. It was like big streaming. Yeah, it was like big streaming is going to like take over the airwaves. Like they're knuckling down on your free to air. It's like, this is just so, I was like insane. I'm like, what? Dr. Phil's going to save us, is it? You know, like.
What do you mean?
Like, whatever the fuck they play on free-to-air now. Like, reruns of Dr. Phil and, like, Ellen DeGeneres. Like, that's what their heel is. It's just like, no one is going to be like, yeah, go, do it, Ellen.
It's my right.
I refuse to live in a world where I can't watch Ellen DeGeneres for free. I refuse to pay $5 to watch Golden Globe award-winning films.
But if they, Geordies, if they said, like, say Channel 10 came up to you and they said, all right, we're going to, friendly Geordies, exactly what you're doing, but on Channel 10, would you be tempted or would you be like, ah?
I would be tempted for the budget because then, honestly, I think that my show would be a lot better if you could put it in, like, a daily show format and you could do it every day. I would love to do that, but I don't think that it would come with no strings attached.
Yeah, it never would.
How would you, like, a company
got
formerly owned by Gina Reinhardt and is currently owned by CBS, no strings attached.
Yeah.
They'd always say no strings attached. They'd always start with that. We want it to be edgy, you know. You just see it next, it'll be like, tonight on the project, Waleed Ali's retiring, the new replacement, Friendly Geordies. That's exactly, exactly. What
we have. That'd be kind of sick.
Exactly. Like, we've got, I can imagine you there just being like, we've got Ryan Gosling here. Ryan, you are just so unanimous in the Fall Guy. How do you do it? I'd love to see you do that. I'd love to see you do that.
Dude, he tried doing that with Richard Dawkins. A lot of
nervous glances, looking at the clock, being like, fuck, 7 minutes, 7 seconds. I've got to say something witty. And no, I didn't. I didn't. Yeah, okay, that's the end.
So we were hammering ads.
We've but it is project, incredible yeah. that the project, I've never seen anything like it. Pure fear. You know, I've seen people in all concentration camps that look more relaxed.
You mean like they seem scared when they're on...
They're so terrified. There's no other show like it.
Oh,
I mean, Sunrise, Koshy didn't give a fuck.
Well, he's a multimillionaire, so he's probably like, if I lose this, I'd just still be a millionaire.
True.
Yeah, but Wiley Dali must be a millionaire at this point. Why is he darting around like he's in the Soviet Union and he's a fucking double agent?
Why do you hate Wiley so much?
Huh?
Why do you and Wiley? Why?
He's such a fuckwit. He's like on so many levels. First off, he's the biggest douche on earth. Mm. He thinks he's fucking cool because he plays a guitar, which is so infuriating. Have you seen that?
King
All
Floyd.
We need is a little more conversation. And he's playing the guitar
on
the
front. But there's so many worse people, wow, though. Sick.
They're so... Okay.
You get to the fodder than the fat.
He is what's wrong with this country. he really is. The reason that he is so bad is this is his entire worldview in a nutshell, which is that I don't really want to take any view on anything ever because I'm just above it. And, like, I think that if you are taking a view, then you're just being really ideological, and I think that it's better to just stay out of it. And so he just sits there and, as the kids would say on the news, like on Twitch, he just both sides everything and does it in a very Malcolm Turnbull-y way, where it's like, Wiley, you've said fucking nothing. And that's why you're here. It's because you can make, your vocabulary is advanced enough that you can make it seem like you said something. But if you went back and looked at the transcript, it's like, it may as well have just been fucking dead air and then just been like, up next on the project, Big Bird. You know, like that's what should have happened. So it's like you're paying $2 million for oxygen.
But do you think that's a part,
just for the record, I'm a fan.
He's just saying that to be controversial. He doesn't actually like Wiley.
I would say Wiley in the wider Australian market is 50-50.
What?
That's something as well. Like, I mean, when did Wiley come on TV? He came on TV 2010?
That's when you found out about him. I was watching Salam Cafe.
Really?
No way.
Yeah, he used to
How
be
on
like
How do you know about
Muslim...
Salam Cafe?
Because I watched it.
How? In Pakistan?
Salami
no,
Cafe.
I
went,
like, they had like YouTube... clips of it.
Oh,
they would have like the entire episodes. No, well, when I'd moved here.
Wait, I didn't even know that it was on then. Shit.
Yeah, dude. He was like a Muslim face on TV, and as a young lad, I looked up to him.
That's something. That's the most Geelong thing I've ever said, but that is something. Yeah. That like, it, like to have a brown Muslim dude on TV in 2010, like a lot of Australia would be like,
SBS,
what the fuck?
Who'd have guessed?
Oh, now, but then Channel 10.
Huh?
But then Channel 10.
Yeah, but then Channel 10.
There are worse, much worse media people than Waleed Ali.
Give me some names. Give me some names.
Sandra Sully.
I don't need a longer list of enemies. But I just intuitively, there are.
I don't think there is.
Really?
I really don't.
Come on, you can't think that.
Huh?
You can't really think that.
I think that that is one of the worst possible, like the worst type of media is that type of person that is,
You think it's a nuance, bro. He's too like this and then also this.
Dude, he's
but also he's an entire piece that is like based off like some bullshit think tank piece from the IPA, which is just a completely corporate funded sham think tank institution, which they always just roll off. Oh, and but you know, and like just getting rid of any. Okay, a really good example of this is the Australian Building and Construction Commission, right? Mm. This is a commission that Howard set up and then was re-brought back by the other ragtags and the Liberals after the Labor Party got rid of it. What is its chief goal? It seems its chief goal is to kill construction workers. That's all it achieves, and it's purely there just to stop unions from going in and checking the safety of sites because that like destroys productivity. So it sits there and makes this independent commission that is just filled with a bunch of developers, mm-hmm. and then the union goes in and says these harnesses don't have G straps on them, and they'll just be like, I think it's safe. And they just let allow them go on. They fucking kill construction. So every time the Building and Construction Commission is in, construction deaths on site skyrockets, right? This is how the project does it. They're just like, it's the biggest rumble in Canberra this week. And as you can imagine, the pollies are ready to go. And then they just go, and then they just cut to a shot of Michaela Cash going, this is an outrage that they would get rid of this bill. And then it cuts to Labor saying, I think it's a good thing that we got rid of it. And then just cuts it, like without them explaining. Why? And then they're just like, so why does everyone care about it? It's just one of those classic Labor-Liberal divides. That's how they're teaching the public to think constantly. It's just removing anything of remote substance from it to an audience that if you explained it for a second, it's just like, this is not a ideological culture war battle or anything like that. This is an exact example of why the Labor Party is the party of, like, material outcomes that benefit the public. But they'll never fucking put that on air. And so when I see something like the Murdoch press, I'm always just entertained. And it's like, that's fine. They can have their cheerleaders, especially because they're just so honest about it. But when you go to your Channel 10s and your fucking ABCs, it's so much worse. Anyway, sorry.
But so is that Waleed, though? He's a product of that system, because I'm sure those advertisers are like, hey, Waleed, don't step too far this way or too far that way. He's got to present like a, hey, I'm accessible to middle Australia.
Exactly, exactly. But the thing is, he's happy to do it, and he's fucking smart enough to know what the fuck he's doing, you know?
Matt, like, okay, yeah. I've been listening to his podcast for a long time, and sometimes I still listen to it. It's called Mindfield. Check it out if you want to. And I do kind of agree with Jordan now. Like, in the last 3 years, I don't think he has anything to say.
I'm not defending Waleed. I'm just interested in Waleed as a phenomenon because I think people see him as the good guy. But I know from talking to Jordan that Jordan sees him as the bad guy. I'm like, that's interesting.
Well, Jordan doesn't like him because he likes to keep the status quo. And Jordan is all about screwing the status quo around. But he's like a lawyer.
And academic at Monash University.
Yeah, he's an academic. He's like a nerd. He likes to read and all of that stuff. But he doesn't have like strong opinions about stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
He's very blasé with whatever. And Jordan, on the other hand, is a man of like right and wrong. He sees everything in binaries.
Oh, shit. Sorry, bro.
Am I wrong about that?
But don't you think that's like such a bad way to look at the world? A truly bad way. And he has that view all the time. It's so annoying. Every ABC and Waleed Ali, who is just a wannabe ABC host.
Sorry.
There we go.
Got it. Fuck off.
No, you've done it the wrong way, Mish.
Oh, Jesus.
Now twist it around.
Oh, this thing has to twist. This happened on the project. I'm just going to do this.
And that's why it's better.
Yeah, I agree.
Very unprofessional.
We'll wait for the mic to turn on.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, those of you that are watching or listening, Fergus is performing at the ID Comedy Theatre on Saturday, which will be the 4th.
Waleed is opening.
Waleed is opening. And he's not going to say anything because he has nothing to say.
Waleed's stand-up would be like that. He'd do like an observational piece on Sydney, I think. He wouldn't come out with guns blazing like Jordan does.
And he's not very funny. Piece. That's the other problem. Yeah. He's not funny at all.
But maybe if you don't have a Waleed, then you don't have a Jordan. They're kind of like the yin and yang of Australia cultural landscape.
No. If you don't have an Andrew Bolt, you don't have a Jordan.
Yeah.
I'm purely a product, a reaction to Sky News.
Sky News fall off. You never see Sky News videos anymore.
Dude, I see them all the time.
During the pandemic, it was like that. There was like a million views on each YouTube video.
Yeah, but I think part of the reason is after the pandemic, the algorithm hasn't been kind to Sky News.
Okay, yeah.
Because they've got like a few community strikes. Oh. And I know this from personal experience that once you get one of those, your algorithm is never the same.
What, you must have strikes or no?
No, I don't think I do.
Okay.
Not the main channel, but this channel might have some strikes.
The podcast does.
Because of him.
What did you do?
With his Sky News views.
I may have mentioned a certain Rex Sheen, certain point.
No, he said so that good. If you get like,
don't
you
say it again.
If you say it again, then another strike.
No, it's the thing is passed. Like, at the time, they were like looking at it like hawks. Now no one cares about COVID. Mm. But you said something about Bill Gates having like 5G. What was it?
I can't remember. I think I was joking.
You said like ever since if you get COVID vaccine, you're gonna get like 5G network, and Bill Gates is gonna It was just on.
I was like taking, I think I was taking the piss, to be honest.
And yeah, he was, but YouTube didn't care.
YouTube is just like, no, yeah, which is like, your bots can't pick up satire, fix your tech. You fucking, you suck. I hate you. Fuck you, YouTube. I'm smarter than you, YouTube.
Yeah, but having said that, I still watch Sky News. They're making videos. They're pumping them out.
Well, they're entertaining.
Yeah, they are.
They are.
I've got friends who are progressive who watch them because they're like, this is the most entertaining shit ever. They're it like, live from the studio. We're at the Shrine of Remembrance.
The most entertaining thing about Sky News is their comment section because they never turn it off.
Yeah,
no matter what it is. It could be like,
I mean, we're going to be discussing
Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The comments will stay on.
Yeah, yeah.
And the comments are wild. It is just the most fucked individuals of this country.
Yeah.
All congregate in the comment section.
You hang out there. Just
dude, I love it.
But are you like, dropping likes on the comments?
I'm not dropping any
Talent
likes.
Damo.
That's a good point.
But there's been a lot of times when I have wanted to drop likes.
Yeah.
They're so fucked that I can't even tell you even a single one that I remember.
Yeah.
They're exactly what you would think they are.
Well, can I ask you a question? So the Friendly Geordies universe, it's back officially because the last 4 months you've been off the grid.
Mm.
Well, I thought you were dead, but mm-hmm. you're back.
Thank you. Yep.
I'm sure people would be interested to hear that.
It's more of a statement than a question. what is the question?
Well, so the question is, so wait, can you talk about where you went or you just-
No, I can't say that.
Is it that, can you tell me off mic?
I can tell you certain things off mic.
I'll tell you everything. That he was at-
He wouldn't even know.
No, I don't know.
It's that crazy.
I'm getting kind of nervous here.
True. Sorry. No, I forgot this was live as well.
Keep him on his toes.
Sorry, I forgot this was live.
Just so relaxed and laid back this guy is, where he's like, I know the whole thing. I can tell you. I know the story.
I forgot we're live and I was next to Miss Love and what I was asking. I forgot we're recording, to be honest.
Yeah,
we're just good, hanging out.
How good is that?
We are over time.
Okay, cool.
Are we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been an hour and a half.
Damn.
Fucking hell, time flies.
Yeah, dude.
Well, it was a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
In conclusion, that is fucking awesome that you were on Sunrise.
Yeah. And
sick, I think it's a highlight.
It was awesome he was at the Canberra Comedy Festival.
Next pod, if you guys get Bobcat on this pod, which is not out of the realm of possibility.
That'd be amazing.
Hey, dude, we've got someone that is hitting him up.
Really?
Well, I hope he is.
Yeah, there's put the shout out.
And I think he's on the list.
I'll give you the media manager's phone number.
Yes.
Do that.
Please.
If you're listening, Arun, come on the Friendly Geordies podcast.
Yeah, we are.
Nothing can go wrong.
Our guy will contact you soon because we'd love to have Bobcat. That'd be a great podcast.
Yeah.
Tune in next week for live. His son, Robert Cat.
That would be even so better.
Much better.
Even better.
Yeah. So why don't you look anything like your dad?
I don't know if you want to know the answer to that question.
Oh my God.
Thank you for joining us. Check out Fergus Neil. There's going to be links at the bottom in the description box if you're watching us on
YouTube. In Brisbane June 1.
He's in Brisbane first of June. And if you're watching live right now, he's going to be performing at
Saturday.
ID Comedy
Theater
this Saturday.
Yeah.
So make sure you get a ticket. And have a lovely
thanks for having me, boys.
Enjoy our beautiful weather.